The American Red Cross has declared a rare national blood supply crisis because donations dropped to a four-year summer low while hospital demand surged. And this doesn't happen very often, as just mentioned in the beginning there, declaring a rare national blood supply crisis. And the timing of this works out, at least for us here on WICC, because every month we check in with the American Red Cross Connecticut chapter. Richard Brannigan is back with us. And Richard, I always appreciate your time. Tell us about this.
Thanks, Melissa. And thanks for calling attention to this crisis. Yes. Four-year summer low. We're seeing drop-offs while the demand for blood, the need for blood in the medical community has continued. And this is only the second time in the Red Cross history that we've declared a crisis. The first one was coming out of COVID, which we all survived, and it was crazy impacts on the medical community, as we all experienced. But this one is a trend that is alarming and started back in May with a drop off in donations. It continued through July, and we're turning the corner, but we're still in crisis mode. And crisis mode for us means that we have to have those difficult conversations potentially with medical providers, hospitals, and their medical staff and directors about who can receive blood and whether we have to ration those supplies and limit the supplies. And we really don't want to do that. And we know that the people in Connecticut will respond to this call to action. And we appreciate the help that you guys are giving us.
So let's kind of go back a quick second. The nation's blood supply dropped 25% in June, triggering an emergency blood and platelet shortage declaration in July. So when we say that, again, we're looking at a full, you know, America's picture right now. But of course, Richard, as you can imagine, people here in Connecticut hear that and they think, is this impacting our Connecticut hospitals? Give us a sense locally. I hate to even say that, but it is a question, obviously. What are we seeing here in Connecticut in regards to a blood supply shortage? Are we seeing what the national picture is, or are we in a little bit of a better place? What would you say?
I'd say guardedly right now, today, we're in a little bit of a better place. However, the impact on the blood supply is it could be the weather conditions, tropical storms, the air quality. We've got summer vacations. There's a lot of factors that add up, you know, just to a distracted summer schedule for our residents. And, you know, if we could increase the amount of people who come to our blood drives, and we're doing blood drives more than a dozen a day around Connecticut. So there's opportunities that abound. And if we could just get three more people to each of those blood drives, it doesn't sound like a lot, but we can help out where there is an impact being felt. The impact today in our medical community is concerning. We want to make sure that we're taking action to prevent any of those difficult decisions. In other parts of the country where, by the way, we're responding to wildfires in the western states, in Washington State and Oregon, and flooding in Texas. And all of those are disruptions to the nation's blood supply system. And so we want to do our part to support those, but also prepare our state. And the challenge with blood is that it has a shelf life, has a 42-day shelf life. And so it constantly needs to be replenished. And it's a very unique resource that's provided to the medical community that has that limited shelf life. So we have to continue to do our job here in Connecticut to support our medical community and those that are in surrounding states as well.
And again, we've got Richard Brannigan here, CEO of the American Red Cross Connecticut and Rhode Island region. And it's only the second time in the American Red Cross, the organization's history, that it's declared a blood crisis. A blood crisis is the most extreme blood shortage. It poses a concern, obviously, risk to patient care here and across the country. So that's an amazing statistic, Richard. Three more donors at each blood drive this summer could end the crisis and stabilize the blood supply. So what does that equate to, would you say? I mean, you know, obviously three per one. I don't know if that's just kind of a figure you use, but, you know, how many more blood donations do we need to kind of stabilize this, make this go away?
You know, from our purposes, three more donors a day translates to 35 to 50 individual donors, depending on the number of drives we have in that particular day. We also have fixed sites in Greenwich and in Milford and in Farmington and Norwich now that people can sign up and make an appointment. So it's an opportunity for the community to come together. It's not a big lift. We make it as simple as possible, redcrossblood.org. There are some thank you gifts. I think in the course of August, you know, appreciation is a $20 Amazon gift card for presenting donors. So we want to express our appreciation for that support, but we make it easy. The Red Cross donor app allows you to make an appointment and keep your donor card current. And also you'll get an email to where your donation has ended up, which is really just a wonderful thing. When you talk about impacting other people's lives and doing it for the right reason, there's no cost to this. It's just your time and part of your precious, you know, self that's going to others. And this is a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah, that is a very cool full circle moment to then know where your donation goes. That's really neat. We are chatting with Richard Brannigan, CEO of the American Red Cross Connecticut and Rhode Island region. And the American Red Cross declared a blood crisis, only the second in the organization's history, a blood crisis being the most extreme blood shortage, posing a concerning risk to patient care. And so one of the things that we can do is obviously donate our time and our blood, right? Before I go, Richard, to what types of blood you guys are looking for, can I ask, you know, so we said that the nation's blood supply dropped 25% in June, which then triggered the emergency blood and platelet shortage declaration in July. Why did that happen? I know you had listed off some things before. You said, you know, maybe the smoky, you know, hazy conditions, vacations, but that's not making sense to me. Why did we see such a drop off? I know every summer we people go away and you know, maybe don't show up as much for blood donations, but I have to understand that because that's a significant drop.
It is, Melissa, and thank you for calling attention to it. It's concerning to us that we're seeing that drop starting in May, earlier than normal this year, and it really didn't rebound, you know, to any great degree. And so during the normal summer, well, if there is such a normal summer, we see a drop off because of vacation schedules and schools are closed. And school partners do a wonderful job during the course of the year. Colleges and high schools help us with the blood supply. And when they're not in session, you know, we have to make that up somewhere else and keep that shelf life stocked for the blood that we do receive. So it is concerning to us to see that a little bit early. And the demand for blood never wanes. It is constant. And then it ramps up a bit when we get to trauma season. We're in, if there is such a thing, you know, summer activities increase the risk, and people end up in emergency rooms, and medical community has to respond to that. And we see that summer after summer, you know, without fail. So it's that combination. And the concern is that, you know, we have a small population of folks who are actually donating on a regular basis, and that seems to be declining. So we need to amp up the message. We need to make people understand that this is something they can do with all of the turmoil around us, with all of the uncertainty in the world. These are things that are fundamental that we can do to help other people. As I said earlier, it does not cost anything. It's one of those few gifts you can give that doesn't cost you anything out of your wallet or your credit card, where you just take some time, roll up your sleeve. If you're eligible, you know, spend some time with our professional phlebotomists, who really do a great job of easing people through the process. And we have a lot of support in the community. And when Connecticut responds, they really do. And we've seen that. We've seen the tide turning over the last few weeks because people are responding to our crisis mode and our calls to action. We're especially seeing it in type O donors stepping up as well, where the need is greatest.
Do you think, Richard, that donating blood is generational? What I mean by that is I feel like giving blood was, at least in my household, just to give an example, my grandparents were very passionate about giving, donating life, right? My mom, she's actually donating blood today, believe it or not. And I didn't even tell her we were interviewing today. But, she'll consistently go to donate. But then it feels like when you get to my generation, millennials and Gen Z, that's not really top of mind for us to go and donate blood. Now, I don't know if you have better numbers than I do in front of me. Like, when you look at the populations of people who are donating, and I do feel like the American Red Cross is trying to expand people who are able to donate blood. Do you feel like it's a generational thing that we need to, maybe market to younger generations? I don't know.
That's a great point. I think we have to be creative in how we message to all generations. And, that's somewhat reflected in our gifts of appreciation. It's not really it's an acknowledgement of that donation. And an Amazon gift card to a Gen Z or someone or a millennial may mean a lot. So we have to continue to adapt what we're doing and listen to the communities that are supporting us. And if that's a different approach with the younger generations, I think we also see that emphasis in high school and college drives, where we see folks getting together, and it's a community approach. So addressing those communities, I don't have the statistics, Melissa, to tell you what's effective and what's not and what the drop-off is. I do know that we need to continue to push out the message that donating blood helps a fellow human being. And that's not generational. That's something that people can do from the heart, literally and figuratively. And, I don't think it's age related. I think it's we live in a fast paced world. We're just asking to carve out a little bit of time to make a difference in the community and beyond.
No, I agree. I just think it's fascinating because I think generationally we knew to give, to donate blood. And that was, a lot of times it was tied to if the war was going on or if we were living in dire situations. And so they generationally were taught to donate blood. Whereas it's interesting because we live in a time right now, Richard, like you've already mentioned six or seven times that, it doesn't cost any money to donate. It just costs your time and obviously donating some of your blood if you're able to do so. But what I find fascinating about that is we live in a generation right now where every buck matters. I mean, we the Gen Z, the millennials, we're watching every dollar because things are so expensive. And if I'm going to give my money to a nonprofit, for example, I want to know exactly where my dollar goes. I want to understand we vet nonprofits, I think, better now than we ever did before. And you're not even talking about money. So to me, this would be the generation that would jump on board with giving blood donations, but I'm not necessarily seeing them show up to donate blood. And so I just find that very fascinating. Regardless, all blood types are needed, obviously, but the situation especially dire for type O blood. And again, the Red Cross is limiting distribution of these blood products to hospitals because of the situation that we're in right now. I am going to link information to our website, Richard, if people want more information. I know some people have questions about how much they can donate, how often, all of that I'm going to put on our website, voiceofct.com, and of course, a way for you to find the closest place to donate blood. And we'll put all of that on our website again, voiceofct.com. Richard Brannigan, thank you for what you do, CEO of the American Red Cross Connecticut and Rhode Island region. Certainly keep us posted. Hopefully things turn in the better direction very, very soon. Thank you so much.